Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Central Coast Uncorked.
Hi.
We are taking you to Dunning Vineyard today.
I don't know anything about this place. It's across from Clos Salen. Is that the one?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I know about it. I saw the sign.
Yeah. So I think I've seen the sign a couple times when we've been out there, but they are appointment only. So we did have to email ahead and make sure that they were going to be available. And so, yeah, that's all I know about them. I'm assuming that it's going to be Rhone varietals.
Sure.
But I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll find out together. Today's episode might be like a little less lively because we just did like a whirlwind four-stop tour yesterday.
We did. And I always feel like when they're like private like this, they're a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have like the casual vibe.
Right. But you never know. We might be totally wrong. It might be in some person's house again, like last time.
True. I'm into that.
All right. Well, let's go check this out and we will let you guys hear all about it.
Okay. See you later. Atascadero, and
that was a big move.
I know. Move to the big city.
The big hot city.
Yeah. Thank goodness cool. for AC.
So you guys know anything about our wines?
No.
Well, we've seen the sign across from Clos Salen when we visited Clos Salen in the past, but no.
Okay. Yeah, Guillaume just moved there about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Ago. Before that, it was another winery. Yeah. But yeah, I've known him since he was working for La Ventura.
Awesome.
Years ago.
How long have you been here?
We started here in '86.
Oh, wow.
Purchasing fruit from James Berry Vineyard,
which is
Saxon.
Yeah.
But the Chardonnay you're going to try is the original cuttings from James Berry Vineyard. That's what they were growing in '86.
I was like, I didn't know that James Berry grew Chardonnay.
Must be because you didn't know before. They started.
Yeah, I was only a year old when that happened.
Oh, so. Yeah. You're,
I'm 33, I think.
Yeah, we started in '86 actually buying Chardonnay grapes from him. That's what they grew.
Wow.
They moved up here from Encinitas, and they were near us and sent us a letter and said we're trying to sell grapes. So we came over and bought their second crop ever.
Oh, cool.
That's how I met him, and I learned to grow grapes from James. His name is Pebble Smith, but the vineyard's called James Berry Vineyard, but their actual name is the Smith family.
Interesting.
So
that's what
they grew, and they knew that they could do a really good Chardonnay, and they did. And that's, I liked it so much that I decided to start purchasing. Did that for about 7 or 8 years, and then they allowed us to take their cuttings, and because I liked it so much, I wanted to use the original cutting from the source, which was the vineyard, so I planted that here, and we planted it out to our vineyard out to Chardonnay from the James Berry cuttings, and then we did Cabernet Merlot and Cab Franc to do a Bordeaux blend, and that's how we started just those two wines, and then we stretched it out to start to make a Merlot and a Bordeaux blend.
That's awesome. So, very cool. So, do you grow your own grapes now here?
We've been growing grapes here since 91. So, we bought grapes until 91, and then we did the Chardonnay cuttings, and then we added in some reds that we got from a nursery. And then over time, we got some Pinot Noir cuttings from Jack Creek and some Zinfandel cuttings from a couple different places around here we liked. And then we also purchased a little bit of Petit Syrah, which I share with Justin Smith. So yeah, that's what we did. And we, you know, it's been growing over the 27 years as Paso Robles has. I think we're the 35th winery.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
There was nobody out here back then. And we've just been doing the same thing each year, growing little different things. We've added Grenache, a Petit Syrah from a vineyard on Willow Creek.
Yeah.
And then we're pretty much done with expanding as far as grape varieties. We're just focusing on constantly making small lots of high-crafted, pretty much handcrafted wines.
Cool.
I guess what now is the cool thing is to call it a craft winery.
Right.
I called it making it myself
like
with my hands.
Work.
Yeah. Now it's like craft.
But you can charge more for craft.
Yeah. It's just, buzzwords. There'll be something else in 10 years.
For sure.
You have to make it up and then you.
I still like boutique.
Yeah. We're like boutique, too. But that's because when we started, you know, there was always the grandiose Napa mm-hmm. wineries
yeah.
and a few little mom and pops. And
yeah.
So
yeah.
boutique means higher level version.
Right.
But not, you know, thousands of cases, hundreds of thousands of
right?
cases.
It's crazy. I don't know.
So basically, we're a grow farm winery. We grow it, oh. we produce it ourselves. We grow it, we drive the tractors, we ferment
it,
and we age it.
Have wow. you always had your tasting room here?
There's another tasting room up there by the original farmhouse that's on the label. So the first label had the farmhouse, which just had some history, about 100 years old. And then we put a small tasting room up there because we had the winery up there. And then we built this, and then we do this on the summertime.
Yeah.
When we're not doing anything fermenting.
Yeah.
This building was designed to ferment age wine, so we didn't think about starting wine
yeah.
tasting down here.
Right.
And then we said, let's do that for wine festival
right.
or something.
It's kind of nice. It's always like seeing the barrels.
And so we just got those barrels this morning, so that normally isn't there. Those are all the brand new French barrels.
Those are French, but we have an American flag on it because it's made in the U.S.
It's American flag because they make it in Napa Valley. But they import the staves from
yeah.
France, and Sigam Moreau has a factory in Napa Valley where they craft the stuff. The tank over there,
yeah,
which is that's a French oak tank. That is made
wow.
in France. They don't make that here. It's too
beautiful.
Intricate,
beautiful.
And that's doing our Reserve Cabernet 18 is in there. The idea about a larger wood tank is that the wood to wine ratio is larger. There's actually less. Let's say this small barrel, mm-hmm. you know, it's a lot more wood contact.
Yeah.
As you get bigger, you move into those barrels right there are considered hogsheads.
Okay.
They're just a little bit bigger than these. Then there's these over here. I guess that'd be easier to see. Those are like 2.5 barrels worth. So that just more wine, less wood.
Yeah.
And you get into a tank, you get... So the idea is more texture, more fruit, but still aging. So it's
yeah.
kind of integrating. We're integrating some other techniques other than just small barrel boutique. So that's our Chardonnay. And that's barrel
nice.
Fermented, French oak, but not overly oaked.
No,
that's
not at all.
Yeah. Because it's in oak doesn't mean it has to taste oaky.
Yeah.
It's how much new oak you use and how well you let it integrate.
A lot of minerality on that for
mm-hmm.
me, too.
Yeah, you got it. That's this. That's the soil.
Yeah, I was like, it's like licking
rocks. Why does it taste like... that's heat. It's
yeah.
calcareous limestone. It Zenith does.
Lodo, Saxon.
Yeah.
It's all in the
well,
name
they, those
of
are all
soil.
Names.
Right. Yeah.
They thought up the name. They looked it up. But hey, this is a cool thing. So this is the Pinot Noir, which we actually grow on site. Very top, little terraced area. And so you'll find that what runs through this in the Willow Creek District, which we actually have now,
mm-hmm.
is that soil and minerality and the coastal influence. So it allows us to do Chardonnay and Pinot in addition to these other grapes. Any farther east, we get probably too warm.
Mm-hmm.
And what that really does is just makes the acid lower so the wines
right.
are a little flabby. So you want to have the combination of that crisp acid.
Mm-hmm.
And the minerality shows through. Usually when you get minerality, it's a higher acid wine. It's usually more in the coastal range.
Yeah.
You don't usually get that in the flatlands.
Right.
It just doesn't come through. So that's Pinot Noir.
Nice.
And that's whole cluster fermented. You know, typically I do Pinot Noir small batches. We either use that tank or small one-ton fermenters. So we split everything up into small batches. So it allows us, that's the boutique thing,
mm-hmm.
allows us to individually ferment, let's say, a hill individually
uh-huh.
as it goes down, and then you can taste them and press them
okay,
separately,
yeah.
put
that's
them in
cool.
separate barrels, or put it all together if you feel it's working. Because we're a very hilly property, the top and the lower
yeah.
is different. When
yeah.
you put it all together in a big, you know, 10-ton fermenter, that's it. That's
yeah.
what you
yeah.
get. So this gives us a little more flexibility, and then when you get down to blending after maybe a year or two in barrels, you can tweak it a little bit.
I don't know why I never thought of that.
Yeah.
It's basically
like
they take all of the grapes and they just put them all together.
Well, that's convenient. It's the higher production, the more you have to do that because
yeah.
it's too much work to do one ton
individual,
at a time.
Yeah.
But this allows us to basically ferment one ton and win one ton fermenters. In other words, we might pick 10 tons. Or 5 tons mm-hmm. that day, but we'll separate them out.
Okay.
So that way, it gives us a chance to if we choose. Sometimes I'll press it all out into one tank, and it all seems to be just right, so I don't break it down.
Yeah.
But I can break it down if I want to. And typically our vineyard, because of the mountainous, it doesn't ripen all at the same time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To the optimal, so you're going to pick in series.
Right.
So it might take 3 weeks to a month to pick one vineyard site.
It's a lot of work.
It's just better. The Chardonnay, we pick all at once. It rides down the hill. We average it. So we get a little more acid at the lower, a little more ripe flavors at the top, and we put that all together. It's just easier to do that.
Yeah.
And that's pressed off, then we ferment the juice. So it's a little different.
Yeah.
Cool.
You guys obviously know
a little bit
about the production. I mean, wine tasting is the fun part.
Yeah.
But it's kind of nice to know where it comes from or where it's going.
It's so interesting. Like, I do hair. I have, you know, and then I do this, like, as our side project.
That's,
So I really, I know what I like, and that's kind of it. So it's been
that's
so
important.
Fun as because we've been interviewing more people and learning more about it. Like, how many similarities there are, but also how drastically different everybody does stuff. And it's, I think it's
there's
really
no wrong
interesting.
Way.
Yeah, I feel like I've learned so much from just listening to everybody's stories.
It's an art. I mean, taking grapes and turning it into wine is just, it's an art.
You know what's interesting? There is a, if you go to Davis and take their classes, which is, you know, you learn, there's quite a bit of technique that goes into it.
Yeah.
Then you can alter those techniques.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, it's fermentation. You're turning something from sugar, natural sugar in the grapes. If it's beer, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And you're fermenting it and converting it to alcohol. And what's left over in that, in wine, it's the juice, but those flavors come through from the original source of the grapes.
Yeah.
Then you can start going, well, I'm going to not add yeast. I'm going to add yeast. I'm going to let the winery yeast take over. You can cool it down. You can let it ferment hot.
Yeah.
Those are kind of production techniques that do certain things.
Yeah.
And some people like those, the way it works. Some people like it in different ways. So you kind of, you vote what you like. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, no, it's really, it's fun.
But there, every one of us kind of do it in slight different ways, but we're all kind of doing the same thing. And the end result is we're going to make good wine.
Yeah.
So which is kind of cool. When you work in a community like this, which started smaller when I started, it's now bigger, you don't have quite as much contact because there's so many of us.
Yeah.
But when you sit down with 10 winemakers and you taste through the wines in a more casual basis, then you start to say, well, I like what this is really tasting. What did you do?
Yeah.
And if in the old days, we would share.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing to protect because
yeah.
you really, it's still every year you got to redo it.
Right.
It's not like it's not a technique you can nail and then reproduce it in a factory. It's every year it's different.
Yeah.
So we were able to go, well, this really tastes interesting. What did you do? Oh, I whole buried it. I didn't. I just destemmed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the berries uncrushed. That's how I did my Cabernet. That was going to make a different technique than if you crush it up
and
mash up some of the seeds, you get a more tannic wine. So those are kind of like things you learn. You learn that from in everything. But.
Yeah.
And then how long you ferment it, or you know, if you barrel age it, what kind of barrels, are they new, are they American, are they French, what's the toast level?
Mm-hmm.
Those are all little spice things you can do to the wine to kind of add the techniques.
But I feel like my palate is not refined enough at this stage to know the difference between, like, the barrels. But the other day, my husband, who is a beer drinker, I don't even remember what it was, but he took a sip, and he's like, oh, I think this must have been, like, American oak or something very strong. I was like,
he's already talking like that.
I was like,
he's already talking.
You
like,
no. And then I was, like, looking at the little catalog
that's what he was
that
doing.
I got, like, my wine club, and I was like, God damn it, he's right.
He nailed
it. Yeah, you can pick up oak. That's one of the first things you get as a nuance.
Yeah.
But no, American oak is I won't open those, but I just got two Americans made by a French company. So they make it in a little different way, but it's grown in America. So it's American trees. And the way you toast it, American oak is more charred, more, you know, originally it was whiskey barrels. That's what we did here. And then you refined it to tighter grain for wine. And they use it for beer. And so it just has more of a spicy wood characteristic and less of that sweetness you get out of the French barrels, a little more vanilla. Mm-hmm. So you smell
good
the wood.
Know.
You
good,
smell the wood. So you can pick it up.
Next time I can try it.
If you taste a wine that's been fermented, a white wine that's been fermented in American oak, you really can smell it.
Yeah.
French is a little more delicate. The way it impacts the product. So that's, we're on the Meritage. This is a Cabernet-based wine, 70 Cab, 20 Merlot, 10 Cab Franc. So, like a Bordeaux style, but it's a California version. That's what we call it, Meritage.
Yeah, I like that. I want some food with it.
It's got tannin. Tannin, you need protein.
Yeah.
It's not a cocktail wine. It's not a sipping wine. Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, maybe a Zinfandel or a Rosé, you can sip it. When you get into proteins, Cabernet-based wines, you're going to need some sort of fat.
A little something to go with
A little bit of protein. So then that really helps clear your palate. That's really what's happening. That's why you're doing it. Because it's got that tannin. You need something to coach your palate.
So other than the guest house, do you guys do any other events or anything like that here? Or
we don't
just...
do big events. We don't do...
We do two big barbecues a year.
Yeah, we have, spring and fall, and that coordinates with wine festival and harvest festival. So we always do a combination club party in addition to it's open to the public for that
one or two days.
So that's that weekend. Yeah. And we've been doing that since the beginning. That's how we got people to come here. We don't do a lot of extra events. We're really focused on the wine production. Yeah. We're not a party winery. There's plenty of those.
Yeah,
there are more and more.
And so you can go to those. We're really focused on what we do here and farming it and growing it. But,
so are you open to the public on the weekends, or is it always appointment only?
It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 11 to 5, and then appointments, which we do. We do quite a bit of appointments.
Okay.
Probably four or five a week during the week, and then special tastings. If somebody requests a sit-down or a more focused tasting, we'll do that too.
Cool.
Barrel samples, stuff like that. I usually don't jump into that. They'll request, can we taste through a couple of vintages or what you're aging, and that's just people that are more interested in depth. So we're kind of open to that. We do that as it comes by appointment, and it's either going to be myself or my wife.
Very cool.
That's really what we do.
Do you have any library wines, like a library menu or any that you hold back
and release?
I
pull it out. I do have library wines. And what I do is I don't put it on the list until we're going to do a library feature, which is usually based on the weekends, the harvest weekends.
Cool.
Or some sort of wine club event where we pour them out. We have wines going back 10 years, and we've been doing this so long, which is great. Mm-hmm. We get nice emails from people and say, I just opened a, I had somebody just sent, they opened a 2003 Vindicasa, which is our house blend, which is Cabernet Franc blend, and he said it was great. I mean, that's pretty old wine.
So cool.
Yeah,
so a lot of times these wines leave here, and I don't cellar everything.
Yeah.
I really only cellar what I think is going to go past 10 years.
Yeah.
The rest of them want to have people buy them and drink them and cellar them themselves. So that's kind of...
That's nice. I never think to, email and let people know, hey, I drank your wine. It was delicious. I should start doing that.
It's a good idea. If you have their email, and a lot of these folks text me, the wine club members can get pretty personal with me, so they send me stuff. But it's appreciative. I get that on, Facebook.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then it's a nice feedback.
Yeah, for sure.
Good for me.
Yeah.
And good for them. And I appreciate it. Most of these people are like, I just found this. It's 15 years old. I got to try it.
That's kind of the perk of being smaller, right? Is you can have some of those more personal relationships.
I have some wines that go way back, which maybe overage. Just tend to buy these special wines and put them away. Mm-hmm. You don't want to drink them all.
I'm going to save it.
You don't want to go, this is not this weekend. Weekend's not good enough yet. Every wine's a weekend wine. But you tend to put those wines you pay some money for.
Yeah.
Put them away.
Oh, for sure.
But you go buy
duct taped clothes in my garage. In my wine fridge. My downstairs wine fridge.
This is our Reserve Zinfandel. It's We make a couple different ones, but right now we're only pouring the reserves of Fendel, and that's just pretty much just a blend of all the best barrels that we produce. And that's kind of one of our specialties.
Which wine is your favorite to make?
That's a tough one.
I feel like my mom would like this a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's got a soft mouthfeel, yeah. A little jamminess to mm-hmm. it. More fruit forward, less tannin. Cabernets, Meritage, you're going to have more tannin. So someone that doesn't like as much tannin is going to gravitate towards these kind of wines because they're not as aggressive. They're not as aggressive. They're really, I mean, I love, a Cabernet is probably my favorite to make, but it's also the most challenging to make it really good.
Yeah.
You can make a, let's put it this way, a good above average Cabernet, but to take it to that next level, which really stands out, mm-hmm. that takes a little more work.
Yeah.
Zinfandel is actually one of the most difficult wines to make because of its high sugar content.
Mm.
To pick it, you need to have the higher sugar, so it gives you a little struggle. A lot of winemakers don't like to make it because it can stick, you can have an incomplete fermentation.
Yeah.
And so, but when you get it right, it's a pretty special wine. It's just, I think it's kind of underappreciated still, but it's getting there.
I agree. I think for me, like, I kind of, when I was first learning to drink wine, I enjoyed Zin more, I think, because it is a little bit sweeter and easier to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of feel like I not outgrew it, but like my palate changed. But since we've been doing this, I learned that there's so many different Zinfandels.
Yeah.
Like, was it a cool climate Zin mm-hmm. that I've been liking?
Yeah, more acid, Paso? Less jammy.
Yeah.
Less jammy.
And I didn't even realize that was a thing. Like, I didn't know. And I feel like so many people probably don't know. They just think of, like, a Tobin James Zin.
Yeah.
That's, like, so big.
It's,
and mm-hmm. exactly.
It's big.
Or, like, that number five one. I like
it's designed
that
to be a sugar bomb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Toby would tell you that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's, like, it's... It's so
people
different.
Like sugar.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, because it makes it much more approachable to mm-hmm. a palate that's new.
For sure. Right. And
then after a while you go, that's just too much saturation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where you move towards a Cabernet.
Yeah.
Which is,
so no,
when you
that's
when
exactly
you can make a Cabernet
what I
as attractive as that kind of Zinfandel, then you really kind of hit the mark without making it sweet. That's really what Zin does so well. But you can make it cool climate. This is a cooler climate than East Side.
Mm-hmm.
If you go up to Dry Creek, it's much more acidic and much more tannin.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's made more like a Cabernet up there. That's what they make up there, so they're going to make it. But Paso has the more jammy style.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people think that's all you can get from that.
And yeah, that was just you what can I do, associated
you can do a lot of things with it.
Was like drinking a jar of jam, which
has its place, and it's a popular version. So, wineries and winemakers tend to make what helps what sells.
Sure. Right. It is a business at the end of the day.
if you ask a winemaker, and I know quite a few, you ask them behind the scenes, they would prefer a little less of that.
Yeah.
But if people keep calling for it,
mm-hmm.
and the printout says, make it more like this.
Yeah.
You do. If you can cut it back, that's why our Vindicasa becomes very popular, because it's a Cabernet Franc based wine with Zinfandel, and the Zinfandel gives it a luscious character without overtaking it.
Yeah.
And then we finish it with Petite Sirah, which gives it bottom end.
Okay.
It's a very popular wine. It's always sold out.
Yeah.
And it's at a good price point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so we could charge a lot more for it.
I'm disappointed it's sold out.
it's a club wine. You have to be in the club to get it. And they just
I had a club that just emailed me wanted
it. Yeah, they buy it by the case.
Sorry.
And it didn't start out that way, but it's turned into that kind of wine because it
kind
gives
of a cult
you
wine.
Gives you all what everything you want.
When you find
and it's,
a good
and it's
wine,
not $80.
Good price, exactly. Like if you can find something that tastes good and you don't mind opening on like Tuesday evening or Wednesday, people want to buy that for sure.
I mean, it's economics. We'll probably raise our price on that. But we started it as a club wine. So
it's only available to club members.
No,
when
I have it.
Yeah.
And then what we do is we don't always
not
bring it
out.
Not
one bottle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hopeless.
20 years ago, we poured it to everybody all the time. But it's, I don't continue to grow that brand into thousands of cases.
Yeah.
I could, and that would just be my that would be my blind.
Right.
Yeah, but then we'd have to jet around the world, you know, trying to sell it.
I just don't want to do that.
Well, if you need to send someone else around to sell it, give us a call.
So we make, like, you know, 400 cases of it. It's not very much. Then Petite Syrah. We'll finish with this.
Okay.
And this comes from a vineyard down the street called Four Hearts, where I produce his wine for him, and I also produce this, and we share it with a couple other winemakers, which I probably shouldn't put on there. but this is shared with a neighboring winery.
Cool.
that it's a really good vineyard, and the owner is really good, and it's a Petite Syrah. Everything we do is, of course, organically farmed.
I like that a lot.
I like that.
And so is this. This has really become...
Yeah, that was a high note to finish on.
It's a high, really it's a high note. That's why, you know, everybody wants this and just the two of us get it. And I will probably plant some of this clone here. It just seems to just hit the mark. It's got this characteristic, but it's the jamminess is less and the intensity is higher. So it's less of that jamminess. It's, I don't know, it's just more sophisticated.
Yeah, no, it's delicious.
That's but it's still good. Got that luscious feel.
I like the label, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
reminds me of somebody else's label, but I can't place it.
We started with this one just because I wanted to do something different for this wine, actually. And then we changed it up to this one last time, and we can keep changing it.
Yeah.
It's just screen printed with precious metals.
Yeah, and so we just keep playing with it. That's the back label. All the instruments, and this is the front. It's kind of simple. And there's a few people. This is a gentleman out on out by the airport that does this. And
I really like
what he did. He's got a good handle on what he's doing. But there's the option of this is anything.
Nice. You can
make it ornate like that, or you could make it this. This is kind of our Zen label.
I like it a lot. It kind of, maybe like the color reminds me of that bottle that I got from Center of Effort. Mm-hmm. Like that
Center of Effort does.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then it's not my imagination.
But it's entirely different design.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, totally different. But it was like the colors, and there's just a character about it that
The Center of Effort has the silver. They use the platinum.
The platinum.
There's a couple of different choices. There's a few different choices.
I don't even know the name of what I bought, honestly.
And it's got the thing is like that. So it's simple, too.
Yeah, no, it was.
They do have a label now, actually.
I think it's a paper label.
They've changed a little bit.
The one that I'm thinking of was like
the original.
There's the car one.
It was, yes.
Yeah,
the
it's
car
like,
one.
It's supposed to like look like a car license plate or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with this label, this process, you can change all these labels. But this is digitally produced, and you know, you can just sit there and keep, how about this, how about that?
Right.
And you can do that with these, but this is a little more time consuming.
For sure.
I mean, I think we redesigned this label last year, maybe in an hour and a half.
Yeah. Well, good job. I like
and
it.
And then we'll just stick with it. And I like the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you try, it's an oversell.
Yeah. That's going to be really hard as like a... owner, winemaker, manager, whatever, whoever's job it is to do that, because it is such a crucial part of it.
It is.
Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been at the grocery store or at a wine shop and I buy something because of the label. I don't know anything about it, but I'm like,
The original,
the price is right. They like the label. We'll give it a shot.
As long as there's not a critter on there.
Well, that's okay.
Stay away from the critter
ones.
The
labels are originally designed for a supermarket shelf look.
Yeah.
And price point. And then you go into the reason we did this is kind of a Bordeaux style wine, a little more of a French classical style.
Yeah, definitely.
Why? Because I like Bordeaux wines. There's some sort of chateau on the label. Mm-hmm. We haven't put our farmhouse on it. So why not?
Like, I feel like it makes it more personal.
And so at least it has a story. It's not just a gimmick. And it sets high because I like that. That's the way Bordeaux labels are set. If you look at it, they don't put them down here. They don't do a big, long, skinny one. They seem to set it up high. So that's almost just personal. I just like the look. Then with this, go the other direction.
Yeah.
And but we're not a supermarket wine, so we don't have any barcodes on any of these.
So where can you get your wines?
Pretty much directly to us, through our allocation club, when you walk in 3 days a week. And there are some places out there through a distributor that do have it. Most time it's in restaurants. So.
Okay. I was going to say, like, this is a label that I would expect to see, like, at a restaurant, like, if I buy a bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so either one. And, you know, when you buy a wine at a restaurant, you're usually either going by suggestion.
Right.
Either the wine person there,
yeah, the
som there, or whoever, or somebody suggested it, or you just picked it, randomly
yeah.
off the label. Usually when you go to a restaurant, you kind of know what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're not overly concerned about the art marketing of how's it going to sit on
That's
the shelf
nice too,
and who's going to grab
what you like.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that would,
everyone
if
who's
I was
gonna
to do,
buy it is going to buy it for the wine.
You do a different
like.
Label when you yeah. do that. Mm-hmm. When you almost have to.
Well, then you become like a gallop where you have a top shelf, a medium shelf, and then a low shelf.
Yeah,
then you're
well, it's hard, it's so hard confusing. To get that placement. It's hard to get the
I'm
placement
sure.
right here.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're down here looking at. You move up as the placement
right.
goes,
yeah.
and then after
that's
a while.
That's how they do it all the supermarkets.
But that's not our market. Our market is. To people that are enthusiasts and want to buy it all the time.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of long-term people that have been with us for 10 years.
Yeah, that's
or
awesome.
More.
So how do you work your wine club? Like, tell us about
we do,
that.
We have two levels, level one, level two. So one's a full case twice a year. Can be mixed reds and whites. We do mostly red. If you do a white, if you choose to get the white, then you get a couple of whites. So we have the mixed case, and then the reds only mixed case, and then six bottles, which is level two, and slightly lower discount, and that's twice a year also. So
nice.
Six bottles
this
twice a year, 12 bottles
spring
twice
and then
year.
Fall. And then you can also apply your club discount not only to the wines, but to the lodging.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so whatever the discount is here, these are our two level prices, so
yeah.
you can see mm-hmm. 15-20% off, and then with the lodging. So we get a lot of folks coming. To stay here,
yeah,
and stay
sure.
here a lot, and,
well, and, it's
and
so
repeat,
quiet
which is nice.
Out here, like you're not far from town,
no.
but it feels and sounds like you're out in like the quiet countryside.
Yeah,
well, we're on an 80-acre piece of property, so you just get that expansion. But Uber is here most weekends.
Yeah, they'll come here.
That's
good. You wouldn't think they would be.
They pick them up. You know, they come down here, pick them up.
They're getting used to it. They're getting used
yeah.
to it because
people are demanding
sure.
it.
And,
yeah,
and, you know, when I first. We started that probably about 3 years ago. Young folks like you would go and check in. They go, so, can we get Uber? And I first did it. I said, well, I don't know if they'll come. He goes, yeah, they're right here. I'm going to meet them at the winery. Done.
Perfect.
Like that. I go, okay, now we get Uber.
Yeah. Were you in the area before you started making wine? Or did you move here?
I had a property here
wine?
Just for a little while. And then I met my neighbor, Pebble. And over a period of a few years making the wine, experimenting. Basically, I was experimenting with the Chardonnay mm-hmm. stylistic way to do it, stainless, barrel fermented,
yeah.
And which was nice. I was able to we were all kind of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us were, you know, in people's garages
yeah.
before there was a garage east.
Yeah.
We were actually garages. But we were the original. We wanted a winery. We didn't want a garage. We wanted a real winery. But we made it in a garage. We just didn't tell anybody. Because it wasn't cool then. It wasn't cool. You wanted a winery, then you were cool. And then somebody said, well, you know, not everybody can do that. You know, so that's what we did. So we experimented. I had a lot of people. We made wines together kind of in a garage.
Yeah.
And we tried to make it as professional as we could. So we developed these recipes or ways to do
yeah.
it. And, you know, trial and error. And, you know, basically the most important thing is that we were getting good grapes.
Yeah.
But we were able to play around with that for probably about 8 years before I decided to become a bonded winery and
okay.
sell it. But we had people asking for it all the time.
Yeah.
But I couldn't sell it.
Right.
Legitimately.
Right, you're like
$10. I could trade a case for this, and then
there you go.
A free dinner.
Trade works.
I'm into that.
Yeah,
but you don't want to let the ABC know that.
Pretty sure we're not cool enough for them to listen to us at this point.
Yeah.
They'll have to dig deep into
yeah.
the archives.
But it doesn't matter. You're not selling it, you know.
Right.
It's that's all about taxes.
Yeah.
That's all about tax money.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah.
You got to do that if you want to do it as a business, and you eventually got to.
Yeah.
So there's no cap on like how much wine you can
yeah.
make as long as you're
yes.
not selling it.
Yes, there is.
Oh, there is.
It's
okay.
200 gallons.
That's
200
a
gallons.
Wine.
It says per household, but you could make your household bigger.
There you go.
So you could. They really don't care except if you start to sell it.
Yeah.
So 200 gallons, 400 gallons, but 8 barrels, 2 barrels, they're. that, but that's legal, and you can do that. And you can do that with beer. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's the same, but it's they consider it enough for a family to drink for the year. And so you need to be able to do your own. You just, but it's you got to get the grapes to make the good wine. But people have been doing that for hundreds of years.
Oh yeah,
and in bathtubs.
And they've been doing that too. That's not legal. But
apparently, my mom's dad used to make wine, and my mom said it was so disgusting.
Yeah, like he would add vodka to it.
Vodka or sugar.
The problem is, as I remember years ago, you know, there was always somebody in the garage making beer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's
just
never
until craft beer came in and people started to really try.
Yeah.
Because it's a technique.
Yeah.
You have to hit it on all the places, or one place goes south, mm-hmm. and you get that strange tasting beer that only the producer will drink.
It's fantastic.
And nobody goes, everybody goes to their house and brings their own.
That's what tells you when it's not good.
Same thing with what I've been through, the home winemaking thing and started like that, and you. It's amazing how many poor wines are made and people just drink them anyway because they made them.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to let it go to waste.
I'm not going to drink your wine.
It's hard to drink bad wine.
It is hard to drink bad wine.
The older I get, too, taste gets more expensive.
More,
and even now, I opened a bottle the other night and it was a decent bottle. And I was like, I'm not feeling it. And I didn't, my husband drank it because the next day he was like, are you going to drink this? And I was like, no. He's like, well, I'm not going to throw it away. You know, that's $45.
You're putting something in your body, even if it's $45, it may not be as good as you think it is.
Right.
Yeah. Dollars don't really matter.
It does to my husband.
Well, if he paid that much, he's drinking it.
Yes. Yes.
But sometimes $45 isn't all that great.
No.
And sometimes $25 is good, sometimes $100 is good.
Yeah.
You really have to vote by your palate.
For sure.
And there'll be plenty of wines I'll bypass, even though it's got the big price tag on it. Still got to hit the mark.
For sure.
Hey guys, welcome back.
I thought that you were going to start, and then I think you thought I was going to start.
Yeah, that's fine. We're just pausing for excitement.
Yes. So we just finished up at Dunning Vineyards.
Yes, we're driving down the hill
through
from
the vineyard.
Their guest house.
Yes.
You guys, come stay at this little, they call it the little villa. It's mm-hmm. Their little guest house.
Little bed and breakfast set up.
So beautiful.
Yes.
Super peaceful and quiet and adorable, great bathroom. I want to take a bath there so bad.
And it's beautiful views. It looks out, you can see close to Len's property. You can see the grade from
their house. I feel it's an unusual view for this part of town.
It's beautiful.
It's so pretty.
Very peaceful.
I want to stay there so bad.
Yeah. And the good news is if you are a member at Dunning Vineyards, then you get the same discount on your stay as you do for your wines. So, for example, I think level one was a 20% discount on the wines. You get a 20% discount on your stay.
Yes.
Up at the villa.
Which is cool.
Yeah. I think that's great.
My wine-wise, though, mm-hmm. hands down, my favorite was the Petite Syrah.
Yes, I really enjoyed the Petite Syrah. It was such a good way to end the tasting.
It was. It was really a high note for me.
And then the other high note for me was just them. They're a lovely couple.
So cute. I want to come to their barbecues.
Right? Yeah. We had a really great time. Thank you to Dunning Vineyards for hosting us.
Thank you for having us.
We will definitely be back. We hope that you guys come out and check them out if you're out this way.
Yes.
Appointment only weekdays, but they are open on the weekends.
I think 11 to 4 or 11 to 5 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, otherwise, you guys enjoy tasting. And as always, check us out online, Instagram, Central Coast Uncorked. Keep those podcast reviews coming. If we Instagram live or Instagram stories more, we got some responses to our stories that were super funny. So thank you guys for interacting with us.
Yeah, thanks.
It was mostly about Jamie staining her shirt.
Yeah, oops. No one, that was not a surprise.
Well, we'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.
Bye.